What is it called? Cyclone. It's a one eye. And basically, it's a lot of chaos happening on the outside, but it's still on the inside. You see, that could be happening in your life. You might have chaos all around you, but there's peace inside of you. Somebody say amen. And so we're going to go ahead and read the first part. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Come on, somebody. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, but everything. By prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, there it is, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. That means if you go before him in prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, he says his promise is that the Bible says you'll have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank God for his promise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, Lord. We just pray that you have your way here this morning, moved by your Holy Spirit, oh God. Let your word produce fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold over. In Jesus' name, everybody says, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them with all sincerity and tell them, you must be special because you're sitting next to me. Come on, you go ahead and take a seat after that. Amen. You must be special. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, it's funny because we could talk about storms. We could talk about, you know, life's trials. But it's funny how you lose your fruit sometimes. You know, you lost all your, you know, apples and oranges. Amen. When life hits you hard, you're just like, all your scruples are just left, right? You just, you're cussing, and it just happens to some people, amen? But we go through financial storms sometimes, you know, emotional storms, health storms, physical storms, you know, we go through maybe physical illness, things that are taking place. But the one that I deal with a lot is the secret storms. And those are the ones that people don't know about. Because, you know, if we know that you're under a storm, we'll give you an umbrella. So here's the umbrella, you know, to take care of you under that storm. But the secret storm, nobody knows to give you an umbrella. And nobody knows to give you an encouragement because you're hiding it pretty good. That secret storm, you know, you might find yourself in that place where there's some things that are taking place. And all these storms, they bring, like, maybe anxiety. It brings an anxiousness to your walk with God. And maybe even you start losing your principles behind what you're going through because you have this anxious spirit. And when you're a person of anxiety, you're losing faith in the process because you're so anxious about things and almost desperate. You start doing things that you shouldn't be doing because of your anxious spirit. And that's why we opened up with that scripture that says, be anxious for nothing. And Jesus knew what he was talking about, obviously, because that's what most of us deal with even today. Can somebody say amen to that? And to solve that problem in today's society, some people see a psychiatrist, you know, dealing with, you know, things that they regret, pain of the past. And psychiatrists is all great. But, you know, and then if they don't have time for you, they'll give you a pill. And sometimes in today's society, you know, I can see that a lot of folks don't have time for people like that. And they'll just give you a pill to numb the pain. And so we're in a society today that we take pills for everything. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We take a pill to go to sleep. We take a pill to wake up. Hello. We take a pill to slow down. And we take a pill to speed it up. We take pills for everything. And I believe that the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich off people that don't know how to apply God's word in their life. If you would just get the subscription of the word of God, and right here, there's a subscription that we just read in the Bible. It talked about if you're anxious, it says this is what you got to do. But sometimes we just want a quick fix, and we don't want God to do the deep work because it's taking too long to do that work. Can somebody say amen? You see, sometimes people can't enjoy where they're at because they're so worried about where they're going. I'll say it again, just in case you lost. I lost you, amen? Some people can't enjoy where they're at because they're so worried about where they're going. You're so paranoid about the future that you can't enjoy the present. You see, the Lord dealt with me about that because I'm a man of vision. So I've always seen things in the future and I see things coming and I try to line myself up. And sometimes I become anxious because I don't see things lining up for what's coming in the future. And I miss out on enjoying the moment. And sometimes we don't enjoy the moment because we're so caught up in the future. The moment is now. The moment is today. Matter of fact, the calling is today. Sometimes we're preparing for a calling, and the calling could be right now. You might be called to witness to a brother and a sister, but because you're going through it and because you're looking at things so far off that you neglect to see what's happening in the present. It could be your kids. It could be your family. We're caught up in business. We're caught up in the vision of what we're doing. And you don't realize that the present is more important than the future. Somebody say amen. You see, the present that we're living in is so important. Why? Because you never know. You might die tomorrow. You might die tonight. Right? So you've lost on the moment that you could have made the most of it because you were caught up on things you shouldn't have been caught up on. You see, and the disciples were with Jesus, right? And when they were with Jesus, they were trying to figure Jesus out. They were going to Jesus and they were just trying to, they had a different perspective on who Jesus was at that time. They thought he was going to take over. He was going to rule the earth and that he came from the line of David. So, you know, he was going to take the throne. And so they had an agenda, and why Judas followed Jesus is because he thought he was going to be in power. You know, they thought that if I just follow Jesus, I can get things. See, sometimes we get caught up in following Jesus and serving Jesus because we want things from Jesus. But really, we should serve God so that we can give Jesus something. Somebody say amen. You might have to give him your heart, your circumstance, and your agenda, or even your will. But when we come to God, we have to realize that sometimes what we figure Jesus out to be is not what is the truth. And so the disciples were trying to figure this out. And they were involved in a time where Jesus was trying to bring out some things in their life. How many know that when the storm hits, we'll really find out what's inside of you? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Right? I don't know what's inside of you when the sun is shining. But let's see what happens when the wind begins to blow and things begin. I'll know who you really are. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We pick it up here. The story of the storm. When Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 41. He started off saying, let's go to the other side. He started off with a promise. He says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. He started off with this. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as well as he was. And as the Bible says, and other little boats were also with him. Now, there was a bunch of little boats that were with him. They were following them. Because at that time, Peter, he had status. Matter of fact, if you read about Peter, he was an established fisherman. He's been fishing for a long time, so he had a lot of little boats underneath him doing his business. And so they also were following Jesus as he was going into that sea. And it says there, and the great windstorm arose. And the Bible says the waves began to beat into the boat so that it was already filling. In other words, the water was going into the boat. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Now, you got to think about that. You see, who would bring a pillow to a boat? Jesus brought a pillow to a boat. He wasn't planning to work. He was planning to just get some rest. He said, I'm bringing my pillow. You ever go on a trip, right? Like, my kids are notorious for that. Don't forget my pillow, right? And they get their pillow because they're going to rest on the way. See, the journey was coming, and Jesus said, give me my pillow. And then they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And the Bible says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And the Bible says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, they were all confused at the end. Like I said earlier, they perceived Jesus to be somebody, and they found out that he wasn't that. He wasn't a handicap. He wasn't a crutch. He was supposed to come in and heal. Somebody say healing. God wants to do a deep work in you, but he needs to get something out of you first. You see, this storm brought some things out of these disciples. And if you notice, the story goes, and these disciples were beginning to fret and begin to get, scared and all kinds of stuff to begin to take place. But one of the things, like I read earlier, is that they lost their guard. Because the Bible says your peace is your guard, right? They lost their guard. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says the peace is your guard. And you know where your guard comes from? And it's a defense mechanism as well, is your prayer life. And I want you to ask your neighbor, tell him, how's your prayer life? Come on, somebody. Not your love life, but your prayer life. Everybody knows when you're praying publicly, right? When I ask somebody to pray, say, oh, Heavenly Father, thou art holy and high and lifted up. And that you speak to the mountains and you level the mountains, and everybody speaks these lofty words when you're praying in the public. And matter of fact, it'll be very flowery. It'll be like really nice and comforting. And they'll be like, everybody knows when you're praying publicly. And they'll go, oh, she knows how to pray and he knows how to pray. And that's great. But people will know when you're praying privately when the storm hits. When the storm hits, people know that you've been praying privately. You see, I like it when people pray publicly. That's fine. Oh, but my goodness, how many know that when we pray privately, what happens in the prayer closet? This is what happens to me. I say, Lord, help me with my dirty thinking, Lord. Help me. See, I'm not going to pray that privately or publicly, but I pray it privately. I say, oh, Lord, help me because I'm mad at this person. I'm not going to say that publicly, right? Susie's in the room and I hate her. And I just, right? Man, you start praying for things. I pray that privately. Say, Lord, you help me with my unbelief. And Lord, and I'm struggling. And I just want to fall today. You just pray these prayers that are so genuine. Why? Because it's a private prayer. But when you begin to pray private like that, that's when it makes a difference. You see, we can pray publicly and that's great. But praying privately, that's powerful. See, that's powerful. Why? Because you're all in transition. Crazy things happen in transition. How many know that, when you sign a contract, everybody's happy? Right? You get a contract together, it's to sign on the dotted line, right? You exchange finances, and everybody's happy at the end, supposedly, right? If the deal goes well. You're signing a lease agreement that you're going to rent the place, and the landlord is super nice to you. He's, oh, is there anything that you need right now? Is everything okay? How's the windows? Does the heater work? Okay, great. And you signed the contract, you gave him money, and they were so happy. But how many know later on, when things break, they don't even return your phone call? They go, who are you? I forgot. You live in that house. Things get lost, right? Things happen. How many know that on your wedding day, oh my goodness, you smile? I just married James Hall, Larry. He was smiling from ear to ear. Mona was smiling. And as a matter of fact, I think Mac and Aubrey, they just got engaged. Right there it goes. Amen. Come on. They just got engaged. All right, so how many know the three rings, right? Engagement ring, the wedding ring, and here comes the suffering. Hello, somebody. Something to look forward to. Amen. But you're happy as 10 clowns, as somebody once said. You're happy when you're about to make your vow to the one you love.
But you realize, let me say, you don't know who you really married until the storms hit. Then you'll know Scary Mary came out of her and said, woo, Tornado Tom, hello somebody. He'll come out like Avengers, you know, like, who are you, right? After the storm hits, you see, this journey that we're on, amen, it's all, everybody is in transition. We're all moving to new levels and we're growing to new heights. We're doing things, but in transition, that's when you begin to get hit up. Somebody say amen. You got to get ready. See, some of you guys are getting prepared to get married. And preparing to get married is more important than getting married. Because if there's no preparation to get married, then I don't know what's going to happen after the fact. But preparing yourself for battle, hello somebody. Preparing yourself is what I teach the men in our home. I said, if you can't get along with your brother, you're not going to get along with your spouse. Hello somebody. If you can't get along with their craziness and they're going to poke at you, they're going to tell you all your flaws, guess what your spouse is going to do? Pick up your chonies and all this and that. You're going to get picked on, and you got to learn how to deal with it. Amen? I don't know why I went there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But preparing, see, the journey continues, but your guard should never go down. When you're in transition, and when you're transitioning even into a leadership role, or if you're transitioning into a position, guess what? The devil doesn't want you. It happens so many times when people decide, I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, today's the day I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And next Sunday, we don't see them. Right? I'll be here every Sunday. I'll be here. Oh, you'll count me in. Oh, but I know the devil will be waiting for you at your house when you leave the church. Oh, yeah, you're in transition right now. Oh, you're going to serve God. That's great. But the devil knows that if I could just flick your ear, if I could just hit you in the head, if I could just shake things up at home, you're going to forget about Jesus. You see, right now you might be in that journey. You say, oh, I'm going to serve God. But the devil will try to test your faith in the beginning. He try to shake things up a little bit first because he knows if I can get you at the beginning, then more than likely you're not going to continue on with the journey. You see, you got to be careful because that's the beginning part is great, but the journey is where the real test begins. Amen? A faith that's not tested can't be trusted. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. You cannot be trusted if you can't test your faith. Number two thing that they found out that these believers, so to speak, followers of Jesus Christ, they were fair weather Christians. Right? Fair weather. If it's sunny outside, everything's great. But if it's stormy, I don't know. The Bible says, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? They were crying. You know, it's funny, you know, because all of a sudden they question God's love in the middle of a storm. And maybe their emotion, their type of love was emotional. And sometimes your type of love for God could be summary. Unless the birds are chirping outside, you're not going to serve God inside. Somebody say amen. You see, it's a spring type of love. Unless you see the flowers blooming, you're not going to want to serve God. But you know what God is looking for? He's looking for some tornado type of love. Amen. He's looking for some typhoon type of love. When the storm hits, are you still serving him? When the storm begins to hit your life and your marriage and your family and your finances, your physical life, when all those things begin to hit, he wants to see if your love is still there. Typhoon type of love. Tornado type of love. All that. Amen. God is looking at you. He says, okay, when chaos hits you. Sometimes I've learned this about people. They get mad at you when you don't participate in their chaos. When you don't get dramatic like they're dramatic. Don't you see? This is what's going on. This is what happened. And you're just like, okay. Don't you know what's going on? It's cool. They get mad at you because you don't participate in their chaos. You know, because this peace is crazy. It's radical peace. Matter of fact, this peace will make you smile in a room of haters. All of them hating you, but you're still smiling. Oh, they're just hating on you. They're talking about you, but you're still smiling because you're not concerned about what's happening out there. You're more concerned about what's happening in here. You could be in a room of haters. You're going to be in a room of chaos, but you could be this tornado. Chaos is happening around you, but peace is still happening inside you. Somebody shout amen to that. Come on. See, it's not a big deal to praise him when everything's okay, but God wants to see you praise him in the middle of a storm. It's easy to praise him when the sun is shining, but I want to see you praise him and dance in the rain when the storm's hitting. Amen? That's real peace. So you might have that substitute peace, that peace that only comes from pharmaceutical pills, that peace that only comes from financial blessings. But the real peace I'm talking about is when the storm hits and peace is still here. I didn't know what what real peace was until the storm hits my life. My wife and I, we got hit, you know, financially, we got hit physically, we got hit emotionally, we got hit relationally, we got hit in all these areas. And I didn't realize that I was losing my peace along the way. And then I began to read that scripture. I said, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that's a radical type of peace. Because people don't understand it. It passes all people's understanding. They're confused. You should be crying right now. You should be yelling right now, but you're at peace. It surpasses people's comprehension of what you should see. That'll determine if they're going to follow Jesus or not, because at work and you're going crazy because the boss is declaring that he's about to lay people off, and so you're just going crazy and you're just crying about it and your tears and you're wiping your mocos and everything else, and you know, and they're just looking at you because you've been telling them about Jesus this whole time, and then you begin to cry about what's going on around you, and he says, well, what, how you're living, it is no different than me. No difference. What you're going through was I'm going through. Well, at least I got a bottle to drink. What do you got? At least I got a joint to smoke. What do you got? I got some pills. You want some pills? I got some pills. I'll give you some pills. Pill popping Christians sometimes. Hello, somebody. You might have to take a pill for whatever psychotic reason, and God bless you. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what's going on in your head. I'm not a doctor. But I know some of the stuff that you don't really have to take pills for. You just apply God's word to it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. See, they realized that they couldn't just silence the storm from the outside if the storm is still raging on the inside. They couldn't silence the storm. You see, when Jesus said, peace, be still. It's a peace, comma, right? He said, peace, comma, be still. He wasn't telling peace to be still. He was telling peace, declaring peace over a situation. And then he said, be still. You know, that word be still in the Greek means to be quiet. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, be quiet. He says, peace and be quiet. I was thinking about the situation where they were there. And they were crying. Said, Jesus, you don't even care about me. Jesus. That's when he says, peace and be quiet. Peace and be quiet. I'm tired of you crying. Peace and be quiet. How many know people speak to us sometimes? You begin to have voices that speak to you. And in order for you to keep your peace, you need to tell them to shut up. Tell those voices to be quiet. Tell those people that are negative around you that tells you it's never going to work out, says, be silent. Shut that mouth in Jesus' name. Hello, somebody. Be quiet around you. I can't hear that right now. I need some faith right now. I can't hear what you're saying right now. You're killing me on the inside. I got to guard this peace because that's all I got. Sometimes that's all I have is the peace that's on the inside. Because if I don't have peace, I'm just like everybody else in the world. I need to guard this peace. He said, peace, be quiet. Be quiet. You know, they were looking at Jesus and they were shocked. Because they looked at him and he said, what manner of person of this that he would speak to the wind and he would speak to the storm and it silences it? And see, Jesus was teaching them that he wasn't speaking to the storm. He was speaking from. You see, sometimes we speak to the situation, but you got to speak from the situation. You see, chaos can't quiet chaos. So peace had to be inside of him to quiet peace outside. You see, sometimes the storms that are raging outside of you are continuing to rage, and you can't quiet the storm outside of you because the storm is still raging inside of you. He was speaking not to, but from. You hear that? He wasn't speaking to, but he was speaking from his prayer life. He was speaking from that prayer closet that he has at home, where boogers lie, amen, where tears are flying in, amen. When sometimes we look for counselors, but you need Dr. Jesus to heal that marriage. You need Dr. Jesus to help your cricket crazy kids. You need Dr. Jesus to help you heal that broken heart. And sometimes you need to get in there in the prayer closet. You need to speak from your prayer closet. You need to speak from your belief in God. You need to speak. It has to be. We can't give something that we don't have inside. That's why we go to some of your homes. There's no peace in your home. None at all. Chaos is happening inside the house. But maybe it's because there's chaos happening inside the hearts. Because somebody say amen, Daniel. I'll preach to you all day. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Come on. See, if you ever notice, I preach from my heart. I don't preach just from notes. I preach from experience. I preach from living this life. I preach from being an example and a testimony. I preach from living out God's word. I preach from my situation, not to my situation. I see my situation continues to happen, but I tell you here today, my confidence, the promise that God has given me is if I supplicate and if I pray and I thanksgiving to God, if I give thanksgiving, he says the promise is that you will guard your heart through this peace. This peace that I'm talking about, man, you can weather every storm. You won't be an intermittent Christian. You won't be in and out. I'm a Christian this week, but next week I'm not. Well, I'm planning to go to the clubs this Saturday, so God, you know I can put you on hold. You see, it's the on is what God is looking for. You see, sometimes we flip our Christianity like a switch. We just put it on and put it off. You see, it's because of circumstances or because of what's happening. I believe God is doing something here that he's steering us up. That's why in Victory Outreach Concord, we're teaching people how to pray on Friday night. We're teaching people how to engage in the presence of God. See, I could teach you, I could preach to you, but when you learn how to pray, you'll be preaching to me. Hello, somebody. You'll be teaching me some things because a prayer person, a prayer partner, a person that knows how to pray, those are the type of people that will continue to move the church forward. You see, this last Friday I talked about move. Moving. God is moving. Are you moving with him? The Bible says, stay in step with the Holy Spirit. That sometimes you're a roadblock for the Holy Spirit. But God says, stay in step. Keep moving. Keep moving. I got you. Keep moving. Keep going. See, the peace is going. The glory cloud is moving for the Israelites. They were moving. They were going. The glory was moving. Are you moving into the glory of the presence of God? Are you getting it? And God says, wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, I want you to pray. Come on. Do you just get up and get those boogers out of your eyes and says, Lord, let me get in there and pray. You see, sometimes people say this, it drives me crazy. He goes, well, I guess we got to pray. That's the last thing they do. But really, it should be the first thing that we do. My wife and I, if you know my wife and I, the first thing we always do when somebody tells us, let us pray. Let us pray. They want us to tell us, they want us to tell them the secret to getting the victory over their circumstance. So we tell them, let us pray. And they're like, so you going to tell me something else? No, let us pray. Sometimes, prayer becomes like confusing. But see, that's what keeps your guard up. You see, we need to be guarded, we need to be grateful, and we need to be quiet. Quiet. The Bible says, stay still and know that he is God. Sometimes you just feel like something's happening. He says, just stay still. No, God wants to work it out for you. Don't move too fast and don't move too slow. God is moving, but let him continue to move through you and around you. You see, God is moving in the direction of peace today. That's why I decided I really would want to teach the people. That's what got my wife and I the victory, is that we learn to guard our peace. We learn to guard. That's why we've been serving God for 33 years now. And we've been on fire for the Lord, right? I'm still on fire for Jesus. I might have gained a little bit of weight. Hello, somebody. I might not move as fast, right? You might be able to outrun me, but I'll outlast you in the faith. Hello, somebody. I'll still keep running this faith like the Apostle Paul. I kept the faith. I kept the call. I was obedient to the heavenly vision. You see, you have to have that tenacity. You see, the Prince of Peace promised that we would get to the other side. He says, get in a boat. We're going to go to the other side. What has Jesus promised you? What did he promise? Because if you remind yourself of the promise, you will keep the peace. You see, Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, look, go in the boat, and we're going to go to the other side. And he says, we're going to get to the other side. But in the middle of the whole journey, oh, they freaked out. He goes, Jesus don't even love me no more. You don't love me no more. Right? When people are in a storm, they think everybody don't love them. They all say, nobody even called me. I haven't been in church in a couple of days. Maybe you need to get involved so that we know that you're here. I'm just saying. P3 growth track. Hello, somebody. I'm just saying. If you're not there yet, we'll get there. Amen. But see, sometimes we're in that drowning type of atmosphere. But like I was sharing with Victoria, what she shared earlier, is that sometimes when you're not moving forward, you lose your peace. When you're not moving forward, you're not sensing the presence of God like you used to. Why? Because God is telling you, I need you to move on from this already. You're going through the same trial over and over again. I don't know who's playing the keyboard, but maybe they can make their way up. You know, I don't know what you're going through right now. But see, during this time here today, you got to realize that God is doing something in you so that he can work through you. He wants to work through your life. But chaos can't produce peace.